Well, good morning, good morning. Well, we had our exciting Pinewood Derby day last week. And now we're back to the fruits of the Spirit. And we are making our way through them. We're almost all the way through. As I was preparing for today's, I had to decide which direction to go on it. Because, you know, that's the song that my kids enjoy singing, well, through the Spirit, and it says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. The song that I liked singing when I was younger said, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith. And so there was this tension between faith and faithfulness, and which one we should be talking about when we're going through the fruits of the Spirit. I got to clean up my area up here. And as I was preparing this week and putting this together, I thought, well, here's what I'll do. In order to trim down the number of possibilities to talk about, because faithfulness and faith both have a lot that go into them, obviously. Let me rule some stuff out. I said, we're going to go with faithfulness. That is what's the translation that's been in the verse in the bulletin. That is the song we've been singing. And that is the title that I had already sent to Kathy. So we're going to do faithfulness. So let's rule it out. So I'm going to go into Galatians 5:22 and look at the Greek, and we'll get the word for faith and the word for faithfulness, and we'll explain how there's some difference, and that'll set us up and how we're going to go on faithfulness and not be spending our time on faith. And much to my surprise, maybe Don wouldn't have been surprised, I opened up the Greek, Galatians 5:22, and the word there is faith. In fact, I did a little more looking and found out it's the same word pretty much everywhere. Faith and faithfulness, it's the same Greek word, so I couldn't give myself that out. So here's what I decided to do. Since this 4-week through the Spirit block, it's going to be broken up a little bit because I'm going to be here today and next week, and then we're as soon as we finish that last note next week, we're loading up the van, and Rachel, the boys, and I we're heading out on a road trip, and we're going to be gone for a week. And I meant to check to see if we had the person for the 21st figured out yet, so I could tell you from here, but I didn't do that. So you're going to have a week of somebody else. And then I'll be back and we'll finish up this fruit of the Spirit. So I said, since we're broken up two and two with 1 week in the middle anyway, here's what we're going to do. Since I put myself in this corner, we're going to talk for 2 weeks about faithfulness. And then we're going to talk for 2 weeks about faith. Because while it may be the same word there in the Greek, we discuss these ideas, I think, in different ways. I think when we say, what does it mean to be faithful, while we can go literal and say, well, to be full of faith, I think there are different ideas that come into our minds about faithfulness that are perhaps separate from faith. So we're going to break this one up. We're going to do 2 weeks of faithfulness. I'm going to be gone. And then we're going to do 2 weeks of faith. Sound good? All right. So now, faithfulness. Where you thought we already were, because of the word on the screen. Well, I was spending time going through the Bible, trying to find the different ways that faithfulness or faithful or faithfully are used. And there is a variety. And I'm going to do my apology up front instead of at the end. For these first weeks of the fruit. I always feel like we've done a lot of talking and a lot of studying and looking at these words, and I often feel like we haven't come to any so what at the end of it. So just be ready. We're probably not going to have a big so what, but we're going to get a big idea of what some of these things mean. The Bible talks about faithful people. There is a small group mentioned in the Old Testament who are said to walk faithfully with God. It's an exclusive group, small group, that it says these men walked faithfully. You probably could guess a few of them. We got some smart people that might be able to come up with all of them. There's six that I found that the Old Testament said walked faithfully with God. The first was Enoch. We don't know too much about, other than it said he walked faithfully with God, and then he was not. And that brief mention of Enoch got the imaginations of God's people going so much that there were far later books written about Enoch and speculation. But after Enoch, there was Noah, walked faithfully. Abraham and his son Isaac. David walked faithfully with God. And a few times, God said to somebody who was a descendant of David, if you will walk faithfully, then, and we don't have much indication any of them reached that standard when they were told that, but the last one was Hezekiah, who you might put an asterisk there because his was self-proclaimed. He said, I have walked faithfully. I'll take him at his word. Hezekiah was, in my view, a faithful king, we only have him stating it. So if we're going to include Hezekiah, we have six who walked faithfully. And what we see in their lives, the ones that we know about, again, we don't have a lot of information about Enoch. When we see they walked faithfully, we see that their faithfulness was something that they lived out. We see Noah living faithfully, standing up, being the only one. But God knew that even if he was the only one, he could be counted on. Abraham, you know I like Abraham. God said, go, and we'll figure it out when you get there. And Abraham went. And faithfully, through his life, followed what God said. David, we know, did so many things. Tried to live his life as that example. And he became the example that all the other kings were going to be measured against. Not just because of what he believed, but because of what he did. And Hezekiah followed in that example. And so we see faithfulness involves some action. And we can understand that. We use the word faithful. We talk about faithful people. In fact, we can connect this back to the previous fruit of the Spirit, right? What's one of the well-known phrases used in the New Testament? Well done, good, and faithful servant. We think about faithful in terms of service quite a bit. And we see that in the Bible. We see servants being called faithful, and their masters faithful to them. This idea of faithfully serving. And it brings in ideas of trustworthiness. Moses was a faithful servant in all of God's house. Said it in Numbers, said it again in Hebrews. It says he was a faithful servant. he was able to take care of all of the things that God needed him to do, in which we know Moses had a lot of things to do for God, in caring for all of the people, and trying to be that connection between God and the people, and all that he did, even for the people who came after him through his role in passing on the law. So we know a faithful servant is trustworthy. We think of faithful in terms of loyalty. How many times do you turn on a football game? They talk about the faithful fans there. Right? We use that term for loyalty. The fans that are going to be there no matter what. You know, there's really, if we're being honest, not much reason to be so faithful to any particular sporting team. Jerry Seinfeld had a bit about how we're really just cheering for laundry. You know, if all the players of both teams traded jerseys, we'd follow the shirt, right? Because that's who we cheer for. We are faithful to that team. I don't know if I've shared this before. When I was junior high, I think even into high school, I was a very faithful fan of the Dallas Cowboys. I still cheer for them, but during football season, you would see me at church. If there was a Cowboys game that day, I was wearing a Cowboys jersey. Troy Aikman or Emmett Smith. Every Sunday. Or every game day. And if they won, I'd wear the other one the next day. I was a faithful fan. Looking back, my parents are probably a little more understanding, maybe, than I am with my boys, with what they wear to church. I wore the Cowboys jersey most fall Sundays. Rachel got me a tie with a little Cowboys star. You can wear that instead now. We got this from the stadium down there. Big old stadium. All right, well, this idea of faithful, loyal, we understand that idea. And we see that idea in the Bible. We see God's expectation for his people to be faithful, for his people to be trustworthy and loyal. I was doing a Bible class with the boys this morning, and we did a couple stories out of the book of Judges. And in that cycle that we see in the book of Judges, we see the people turning away from God and getting themselves into trouble, and then turning to God and somebody being raised up to help. And we see this cycle of losing that faithfulness and then coming back. We see the loyalty being shaken and then reaffirmed. We see God calling his people to be faithful. God expects that of his people. And what we see even more in that cycle, and in the other times that we follow the history of God's people, because we know the history of God's people is a history of messing things up. What we see is, not only does God call his people to be faithful, but we see that God's people can be certain that God will be faithful. We see in that cycle in the book of Judges, any time the people turn to their God, God is faithful. Rescues them. We see when we go through the prophets, God says things like, "Return to me and I will return to you." He says things that they can be certain of, that if they seek God, they know God will be faithful. And this idea of faithfulness going both ways is something that we really see in one particular book in the Bible. In the book of Psalms, we see this idea come up over and over again. In fact, by my search, searching for faithful, faithfully, faithfulness, pretty much anything with faith, F, shows up in 200 verses in the Bible, in the NIV. 71 of those 200 verses are in the Psalms. Now, it's a big book, but it's not a third of the Bible. And if you go through the Psalms, and all the ways that it uses this word, I've gone both ways on how to do this. I was just going to read through. I'm going to show them. And then you can take it back in a few minutes here, Kathy. All these ways that this word or these words show up in the Psalms. We know the Lord set apart his faithful servant. Help, Lord, no one is faithful anymore. You will not let your faithful seed decay. To the faithful you show yourself faithful. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. Sometimes they're talking about themselves. Sometimes they say, we are trying our hardest. We are seeking. We are trying to be what you called us to be. And sometimes we say, we just need you. Sometimes they say, we're trying to get there. But sometimes they say, we know that you are faithful. And right now, I just need to fall back on that. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. Sounds familiar. Lord, my faithful God. All throughout this book. And we've talked a lot about the Psalms. These are the ways that God's people try to take the things that we understand, the ways that we're trying to figure out what to say about God and what to say about how God works in our lives, and how we can begin to describe those indescribable things that we feel about God, those indescribable things that we say about who God is. And the Psalms are that attempt to just find a place to start. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. Same psalm, after saying, I'm faithful. Same psalm, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Same psalm. But you, Lord, are compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. That's a statement, a formula that started way back in Exodus. Of God's people declaring who God is, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, faithful. I'll make your faithfulness known through all generations. My faithful love will be with them. One that sounds weird on the face of it, when you start to think about it, it's very comforting. He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. I've never seen a picture of God with feathers, but just think of that image. My people. Under God's care. You can take that back over, Kathy. We could keep scrolling on through it. Towards the end of the Psalms, as you know, the Psalms go from largely lament to largely praise. And as we get to the end, we get increase in the occurrences of these words as the Psalms get happier. As the people start to proclaim the praise for God, they start talking about God's faithfulness and their faithfulness. And we start to see, as we look through these Psalms, that when we talk about faithfulness between God and God's people, we realize that it's something that that is a two-way relationship. When we talk about God and His people, we should talk about relationship. That this is as it has been from the beginning, God trying to have a relationship with people. Started in the garden. We messed it up. Went to the covenant. We didn't do so great there either. Gave the law. God keeps coming for us. God keeps reaching for us. God remains faithful and is waiting for His people to do the same thing. God sent Jesus to make that relationship possible. That this faithfulness, this trustworthiness, this loyalty, and maybe we can throw out all these descriptive words and just say, this thing where you do what you say you're going to do, because that's what we see with faithfulness. It's one party saying to another, I'm going to do the things that I said I'm going to do. You know, maybe that's why we think of this word often in a marriage context. You know, think about the commitment that Lewis and Sue made this week. You know, we talk about faithfulness. In that type of relationship, where it matters that the things that you promise, the things that you vow, it matters that you do that. Just as we understand that in human relationships, that's what we see when we look at this word in the Bible. God is faithful. The things that God said that He will do, you can be certain will be done. There have been times in the history of God's people that that's not been good news. When God said He's going to do something and that ended up being judgment. But God has said that He wants to bless His people. He has said that He loves His people. God has said that He wants to save us, to show that love. And our God is faithful. Our God does what He said He's going to do. He calls us to do the same. So maybe there's not a big so what this morning. Maybe there's not a big aha. Maybe there's a bit of homework. People love that. We're going to talk more about faithfulness next week. I think we probably have a pretty good grasp of what God has said He's going to do. And today we say, with certainty, God is faithful and will do what God said He's going to do. But we are also called to be faithful. This is a relationship. This is it was a covenant. Now we have a new covenant. Either way, it is a relationship where God wants to be in relationship with us and has called us to be faithful. So give some thought this week. And we're going to come back to this next week. What is it that we are called to faithfully do? What is it that God asks of us in this relationship? We'll pick up there next week. Mike's already got his note. If there's anything you need this morning, if If you've been on the outside of this relationship and you need to enter into it in baptism, let us know. What an amazing thing. If you need prayers, if you need to be held up by this congregation, let us know about that as well. If there's anything you need this morning, come tell us about it. We're going to stand again, and we're going to sing.
Jesus is tenderly calling them home, calling today.